2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by those good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us, make sure you go to the website, check out all the different options that we got going on there. But when you do sign up, use the promo code PODCAST. It'll make things a little cheaper for you. Once you get signed up with us, you get 24 access to our daily Slack chat channel with some of the best names in the business, some of the most helpful names in the business as well. With that also, you're going to get access to our Domination Station, which has been crushing it for a lot of different sports. You can catch the little tail end of NBA here, but also going to get some PGA, some NASCAR involved with that over the summer, and of course all the great tools that we have for baseball as well. Once again, promo code PODCAST, that gets you a discount, but again, we do have monthly and yearly subscriptions that you guys could sign up for. I'm your host, Al Walsh. 14A.Walsh is where you find me on Twitter. Keith Hall joining me as always. Find him at Boomers DFS Daddy. Now, I want to throw it out there. My apologies for not having a podcast yesterday. That's my bad. I've been having an issue with the shower faucet. So I had to wait all day for the plumber to get over here. You know what time he came? What time he got here?
I'm going to say 5 p.m. Central Standard Time.
9 o'clock this morning, okay? I mean, Yeah, I got the notification from my landlord that he wouldn't be here until today, probably around like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, I mean, we had already, it was probably what, like 1, 2 o'clock my time where we were like, all right, I don't know if this is going to happen, blah, 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 because I kind of had to like be around while he was fixing some of the stuff. So, that's all my fault. Again, I expected this all to be done well early in the day yesterday, but yeah, that life happens, folks. And
you know, if you would make sure that your beard trimmings make it into the trash can instead of into the sink,
yeah,
you know, or if you would be proactive and use a little bit of Drano every once in a while.
Oh, I got the Drano. You know, it was that, of course, you know, I know busting my balls here, but the actual issue, there was just like, there's always been a leak in the faucet. So my landlord has like 5 different homes that he owns. And he's like, your water bill is by far the most. And I'm like, I know. Like, I've been telling him this forever.
Well, then fix it so I don't have to pay so much.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, it's kind of on me too, where he like also didn't tell me early on, like, okay, this is how high it is. Like, there was an issue out front of my house a couple months ago, and he's like, oh, yeah, maybe this is why the water bill's so high. I was like, I honestly had no idea. But anywho, these are the real-life problems that I deal with. Keith has, you know, every now and again with his son, you know, he won't be able to do a show. So we apologize. We try to, you know, get this podcast out there every day. But even if we don't, we try to give you guys a little heads up and, you know, let you know that it's not there. But again, yep, my apologies.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to preface everything that we start here by saying today we will have the KD seal of approval. He is currently sitting in his high chair, sticking his tongue out at me while he eats his chicken and watching the Washington-Pittsburgh game.
Nice.
So he's going to be sweating with me a little bit this afternoon. He is yet to take a nap, so hopefully he doesn't get cranky. We only got 5 games, so we should be able to kind of roll through this pretty quickly. If I mention somebody or Al mentions somebody, now he can't hear Al, but he can hear me. But if all of a sudden you hear a screech or something after a name, that is the KD seal of approval. And I do believe it has a 85% to 90% accuracy rate right now.
It's pretty damn good. It's amazing. The unmentioned third man name, now he's got to get mentioned for the success rate of all this. And by the way, this is not Kevin Durant that we speak of. This is Keith's son here. So just letting everybody know that, because that would be weird if Kevin Durant was sticking his tongue out at you eating chicken during this podcast.
Yeah, considering he's supposed to play a basketball game tonight.
That is true. Actually, no, they don't play again until, what, Saturday, right?
What?
I believe so.
Is there a basketball game tonight?
I don't think so.
You mean I don't have to worry about basketball projections?
I believe. Let's see here. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, because, you know, how they had... Yeah, the next one is Friday, and then they go at it Saturday again with the Spurs and the Warriors, so... Wild.
Oh, yeah, today's Thursday. I was like, it's on the 19th, dude. So I have to... There's no basketball projections.
No basketball.
Today. Yesterday, like, my model's not... Was not set up to run... And this is something that, you know, I'll be able to... fixed by next year, but my model was not set to run for multiple day contests, so I had to fix that when that started happening on DK and FanDuel. And then last night I go to run it and it just pops up with this big "you idiot," not knowing that the next game wasn't until Friday. So yeah, that's one of those things that kind of caught me off guard. So and that's not the KD seal of approval, by the way.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not.
So,
all right, let's just dig right in here. Not too many games to get to. Again, I'm going to be going position by position on today's slate. You know, if you're playing the afternoon one, good luck to you. Hopefully you're, you know, doing well by now. But let's start it off here with the pitchers tonight. And, oh boy, it's not exactly the greatest one, just as we kind of saw here on the afternoon slate, but I am very intrigued by the matchup of southpaws in this game at Kauffman Stadium tonight with Danny Duffy and Jordan Montgomery. I mean, Danny Duffy has not lived up to the billing so far this season. I believe his two highest strikeout totals on the year are 8 in his first game and then 6 his last game there against the Baltimore Orioles. I'm wondering when the switch is going to flip, because we all know Duffy's got the perfect, you know, this guy was just simply amazing last year. He's had a pretty good career up to this point. So can the switch be flipped tonight? I understand it's against the New York Yankees. They do have a lot of lefties in their lineup, which could help Duffy. But we did see a similar sort of lefty in John Lester do pretty well against the Yankees a couple weeks ago. Any possibility that Duffy can get this done tonight?
You mean similar as in they just both are southpaws, right?
Talented southpaws.
Because there's nothing similar about their approach and delivery anymore. Lester's in the low to mid 90s. Duffy's in the mid to high 90s. Duffy's more aggressive within
talented
the strike
lefties.
Zone.
Talented
I know,
lefties.
But I was just saying. Are you serious here? Oh, okay. I was about to say, did the manager for the Pirates just get thrown out before the first pitch? But no, a little kid just threw a baseball on the field. Yeah, we know that we've got power bats with the right-handed with the Yankees. They've got some good power bats from the left side as well. Most of it is on the right side. Yeah, most of it's on the right side with Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Matt Holliday, Chris Carter. I'm really, really kind of worried, because even though we know that Danny Duffy's pretty talented, this game might go into a delay because the weather in the Midwest is not supposed to be good over the next couple days. That extends, you know, to the northern parts of Texas, all the way up through Oklahoma and Kansas and into like Minnesota and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't mind it. I think it's a GPP play in like qualifiers or like a large, that's not a KD seal of approval either, by the way. He's yelling at me for yogurt melts. You know, he's got the strikeout upside. We haven't seen it this year, and I don't know why. But we saw it in the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm skeptical that this is going to be the time to really attack with him, though.
Okay.
Because of, you know, the severe platoon advantage that the Yankees can roll out. I mean, right now I've got a projected lineup of maybe 3 lefties. you know, you got Castro, Judge, Holiday, Sanchez. They're all right-handed bats. Carter's a right-handed bat. Chase Headley, switch. And they can roll out a lineup of, you know, 7-8 right-handed bats. Now, will they? I have no idea. I don't know if Joe Girardi's that smart anymore, but he can. I'm actually really kind of liking – I'm trying to look at some BVP here because we had some significant ones this morning. And what do you know? Danny Duffy's the first guy. Matt Holliday's 3-for-6 against him with a home run. Chris Carter's 2-for-7 with two bombs off of him. The wind's not blowing out nearly as much as it has the last two days in Kansas City, but it's not like the Yankees are, you know, struggling at the plate either.
Right.
I mean, they're right now probably the best offense, if not the best, at least top three offenses in baseball, with not only production but how hot they've been. So, I don't think I'm willing to go there.
Well, again, too, I mean, you know, you bring that up at the beginning. Yes, this could be a good GDP, good qualifying play here. But of course, I mean, this is how we're going to be feeling about pretty much every pitcher on tonight's slate.
Just said that because not because of the quality, just because of the chance of a delay.
Okay.
That's the only reason why I said that, because of the weather. If it wasn't for the weather, I'd like it a little bit more.
Okay, so we're probably going to be feeling the same way about Jordan Montgomery in the same situation, but he is going against a significantly worse offense of the Royals than that of the Yankees. Now, here's a very interesting one that might catch your attention, but since he's going up against the Oakland A's tonight, Hector Velasquez is actually making his major league debut for the Red Sox. Typically, I don't like using pitchers in their major league debut because a lot of managers out there are probably going to, you know, hold their guy to five innings, so that might kill a chance of a quality start. But Velasquez has had some pretty good numbers at AAA Pawtucket. You know, just looking at it, you know, kind of briefly here, he did have a 1.55 ERA, a 0.79 whip there at Pawtucket. He is going to be, you know, at O.co, one of the best pitchers parks out there. And again, just going against these, we've seen plenty of pitchers have a great day against them. So again, he's extremely cheap. Again, it's making his major league debut, so I think that this could be a decent calculated risk here.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I've got to look into kind of his pitch repertoire and kind of match that up with the hot zones of these A's pitchers. I like playing as Glasnow strikes out two of the first three hitters he faces. Mm-hmm. And we thought that was a miscalculation in our projections today. I like playing rookie pitchers making their major league debuts, especially if they're not like highly touted, like, you know, Baseball Prospectus top 50s that everybody's talking about just waiting to come up and stuff like that. You know, this is looking more like a temporary spot in the rotation while they, you know, wait to get David Price back, you know, stuff like that. So
that's I would say even with that, I mean, I don't think that's any fault of his own. From everything this kid's pretty talented. But again, on the Red Sox, you're always going to have talent in that rotation.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that that's any fault of his own. I'm just saying that that's why he doesn't have as big of a, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Stop throwing chicken at me.
Sorry.
Wow. I'm just saying that that's one of the reasons why he doesn't have as big of a, you know, like a, here's hype. The kid, you know, hype. Here he is coming. Exactly. Hype. That's what I'm looking for. So, I like playing pitchers or rookie pitchers. I also like stacking against them as well. If there's a situation to play him though, I think that you're right on, you hit the nail on the head. This is a good spot.
All right, now we've got an interesting pitching matchup at SunTrust Park between Marcus Stroman and Julio Teheran. But again, the park has been showing its true self here lately, is being so much more of a hitter's park. Now, we've got Stroman here, who he's had a couple starts this season where he's certainly not the guy that we saw in the World Baseball Classic, even last season. And then you've also got Tehran, who has been ridiculous. He's going back to his, 2015 form, where he's ridiculous on the road and sucking at home. If you look at his ERA splits from here, from this season so far, 8.14 ERA there at SunTrust Park, and then on the road, 0.71. So, again, that's, certainly not a situation that, I'm looking to put myself into at SunTrust Park. It's not like either pitcher is incredibly cheap. But between those two, do you have one guy that could perhaps get the upper hand in this one?
No. if I had to give the upper hand, it would be to Marcus Stroman. Not expecting to see Freddie Freeman in that starting lineup today. He's supposed to have x-rays on his wrist, if you don't know. He was hit in the wrist by a pitch last night, and it really kind of sucked because I was pretty heavy on him. Mm. I don't know if this is a spot I want to really attack it, though. The Blue Jays are starting to hit better, and the Braves are, and a lot of it's going to depend on Freddie Freeman. I'd be more apt to pick Stroman if Freeman wasn't in the lineup, because that loses a little bit of that pop.
Sure.
Especially from the left side of the plate, which we know is kind of how this place plays. But the temperature is supposed to be 80 degrees there all day. And the dew point and the humidity is supposed to be up there. I think this is a sneaky game stack, in my opinion.
Yeah, certainly. And again, 5-game slate, not a whole lot to really go off of, with the park. But again, with the temperature being hot, Atlanta, it's no joke. I've been there. It's hot as hell. That could certainly work out. And again, with everything going right for Tehran, with the high ERA there at home, and Stroman's actually allowed a higher batting average to right-handers this season. It's actually above 300, which is pretty interesting. There are certainly a couple things that we will get to later on from that game. But before we go to positionals, let's go to stacks first, and then we can kind of touch back on some of these positional players. But who you liking here tonight? If we're going 1-2-3-4, 2-4-5-6, whatever the hell you kind of like in your stacks.
I really do like – I can't believe I'm going to say this. Obviously, the Marlins – or not the Marlins, the Mariners. I really like the Braves and the Blue Jays game stack. Those would probably be my top three. We have another rookie going in the Mariners-White Sox game. Well, we have two rookies, but one's making their Major League debut. Sam Gavagilo.
Gavagilo.
Yeah, and I don't know a lot about him either.
Can we just call him the Italian pastry?
I mean, we could do that too.
All right.
I also don't mind the Red Sox going against Sonny Gray, who's not looked like himself at all. So
yeah, there is, I did a little bit of reading on the Italian pastry, and he has some decent numbers there in the minors, but again, nothing that really is going to knock our socks off on there. I'm in love with in a totally heterosexual sort of way with Lurie Garcia there, the leadoff hitter for the White Sox. I think he can get a couple things going here. That could actually be a very nice game stack, because Dylan Covey going for the White Sox, he's just absolutely brutal. And he's allowing a .422 average to right-handed hitters this season. And, I think a lot of people are probably going to go with your Gamels and your Kyle Seegers and guys like that. But again, Nelson Cruz, a guy who typically the masses run to when it's a left-handed pitcher on the mound, this could certainly be the go-to move for him there. And then Gene Segura and a lot of those other people there for the Mariners. So I like that. And then, all the Garcias for the White Sox, Lurie and Avisail, they've actually been two of the hotter hitters in the league here over the last week. So that is certainly a way that I'm looking.
Yeah, I mean, Avisail Garcia has been one of the hottest hitters in baseball all season. Forget just all week. It's kind of one of those, don't growl at me.
Sorry again.
It's one of those things that's just kind of like, you know, when's this guy going to cool off a little bit? And I don't have an answer, so I'm going to keep playing him because he's always low owned because nobody likes to play him. Like you said, it's not a bad game stack at all. We don't have any high totals. We don't have any low totals. It's kind of just let's throw some lineups together and see what happens. So I really think that, you know, when a new dynamic the sites should create is when we have slates like this, these smaller slates, and we don't have like an ace like a Kershaw or, a Chris Sale or something, mm-hmm. jack up the prices of these pitchers a little bit. You know, don't keep them like they were on a slate like that. Let's make sure that, you know, because one of the tips that you're going to do tonight is if you try to spend a lot of your money, all your salary cap, you're going to end up on the same basic roster construction. There's no limits to what you can do tonight. So don't be afraid to leave money on the table in tournaments. I mean, I wouldn't say leaving like $10,000 on the table, but I wouldn't mind anything less than $4,000.
Yeah, I wonder if FanDuel would even let you, like, if they did that, like, nope, you left too much money on the table, spend some.
Exactly, you know, it's kind of one of those weird situations that we have to kind of watch out for, because on slates like today where we've got, he doesn't like the pitching options either, where we have, like, crap pitching, it's really a lot of the... the higher end bats that are going to be higher owned. So finding some of these higher end guys could be, and fading them could be a way to go in tournaments as well. Because I think it's another crapshoot today with the pitching. And so figuring out all this stuff is going to be fun as far as roster construction. I have not done any roster construction for the night slate because I was worried about the roster construction for the day slate.
That's true.
It's pretty much going to be about the same.
You call it fun. I call it ripping out what little hair I have left. But hey, to each their own. All right, let us, I don't know. I don't think there's really any stacks that I was too interested in. I don't know, anything about you, or just going straight to positions here?
I mean, like I said, I think that the Braves and Blue Jays are my favorite by far, and that's about it. Just because it's two higher quality pitchers on the mound, but they're two higher quality pitchers that have not looked good. And it's all going to be depending on roster construction as well. But don't feel like you have to stack tonight. Like,
yes.
I think this is one of those nights where you don't have to stack.
All right. Well, let's get into catchers then. Let's we got to start it off here with the bats. So, who we got?
Oh, I hate catcher tonight. I think you got to start with Grandal. I think the catchers in that game, Grandal and Real Muto, are two good options. Then obviously you've got Gary Sanchez and Salvador Perez. I think those are your four catchers tonight. If you just kind of alternate those four, then I think you're good. And Pittsburgh is on the board. Bell.
Josh freaking Bell. One of the hotter hitters in the league. He was in the notes for the early slate today, so you're welcome, folks. Again, Grandal been one of the hottest hitters in baseball. Really can't mess with that. Real Muto, they're going to be going up against Ryu, who, you know, we didn't even touch on the pitching, but a lot of people are liking him early on. I don't know why, but
against the Marlins.
Yeah, that too. Hey, you know what? A change of scenery usually does well for some of these people.
So. You want to know something? We talk about stacks. You want to know a sneaky stack tonight? It's the Miami Marlins.
Yeah. Well, I got one guy in mind in particular, but yeah, JT Realmuto is still very affordable there, $2,800, so you can go there.
I don't know why they don't jack his price up.
Because it's JT Realmuto. Not too many people, only the baseball enthusiasts really get excited when he's in the lineup batting second or something like that. So,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got for catcher. Again, Gary Sanchez is probably going to be a good option too, but you got to worry about the weather concerns there. And again, there will not be any sort of hesitation to fit him in your lineups today. He'll be just fine.
Well, crap. I don't have any Josh Bell.
I don't think anybody. I was looking at a – no, people do. People do. All right, let's get to first baseman here. The one that really stuck out to me was actually Mitch Moreland, who's got 3 career homers against Sonny Gray. I know it's not the greatest hitter's park in the world there at O.co, but who do you like in there at the corner?
Mitch Moreland.
Hey, all right, I know him.
Yeah, I really do like Mitch Moreland. I also I can't believe I'm gonna actually say this. I don't think I'm gonna. Yeah, I've got to. I actually kind of like Danny Valencia tonight.
Okay.
I don't really understand or know why, but I do.
Okay.
And it's very, very odd.
It's what we refer to in the industry as a gut call, folks.
Yeah, definitely. So, I think it's a very interesting play. He's been swinging the bat pretty well. I also don't mind Justin Smoke either.
Well, how could you not?
I mean, left-handed bat in that park going up against a guy that has not looked good or comfortable in this new ballpark. Yeah, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, definitely. I like that too. Boop, boop, boop. In looking at some, oh boy, some other options here. Boy, you talked about Chris Carter at the beginning. He had a good BVP. I mean, Cody Bellinger keeps striking out, but he put the bat on the ball twice yesterday for 2 doubles, a couple RBIs, which actually kind of worked out very well. Jose Abreu, you know, again, he typically does better against right-handed.
There you pitchers. Go.
So, yep, that you know, I got to put him in now. But yeah, he, you know, again, we're taking on a young pitcher. He did have, what, 2 innings of work here, the Italian pastry, Gabagillo. So, yeah, that was a week ago. Yeah. Hey, look, he got the KD stamp of approval, so I'm down with some Jose.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, bro. All
right. It might be 100% now.
What do you think about second base here?
Whit Merrifield, if he's at the top of that order, has been producing pretty well. You've got to always look at Dustin Pedroia. Petey's been against Sonny Gray. I want to say he's kind of owned Sonny Gray over the course of their careers. I'm not 100% positive on that yet, or that right now, though. Then, of course,
you do the research team here real quick.
Then, I mean, Chris Taylor, where these Dodgers got their rookies, I have no idea, but they did.
Dustin Pedroia, 3-9 with an RBI against him. No strikeouts.
Okay. It's not as bad as I thought it was. And then, I mean, second base is kind of pick your poison. I don't – there's not a lot of top-end options. And I, you know, one guy I won't mind is Yolmer Sanchez if he's at the top of that lineup for the White Sox.
No, he ain't taking it away from Lurie.
No, he usually bats in the second hole. In the 2-hole.
Okay.
If he's at the top of that lineup, he usually has been batting in the 2-hole behind Lurie. Or Lurie.
So every time he gets a hit,
Lurie.
Stop doing it.
Lowry.
I'll share my stupidness with all of you because I like you.
There we go.
I'm very interested to see if Derek Dietrich is in the lineup tonight. I know that it's going to be lefty on lefty, but I think he can get on base here a couple times against Ryu. Again, not particularly an overpowering, you know, left-handed pitcher that I really have to worry about.
And
so,
D. Gordon revenge game. And if you remember from last year, this is right after this game or this series, at the end of the series, is when there was a huge controversy. Now, it was earlier in the season, but there was a huge controversy because he had created basically the winning run off of like a bunt, a steal, and just some craziness. And there was a huge controversy about it. And then after the game, he was suspended for PEDs. So maybe not last year, maybe it was 2 years ago. But D. Gordon revenge game. He always plays well in Chavez Ravine. So I don't mind him at all either.
All right. Let's get to what are we gonna say? Third base now. In this one, who are you liking there?
Nolan. Oh wait, yeah, he's not on this slate. Sorry, that was a joke.
Just pure habit right there.
I don't like a lot of second base or third baseman here. We don't have Nolan or Miguel Sano on the slate. We don't have Suarez. We don't have Shemp. I mean, second base or third base is just absolutely a dumpster fire tonight. I mean, I think Justin Turner is going to carry a lot of ownership just because he's Justin Turner. And I have no problem fading that tonight.
You know, it's funny. I was just looking at they got Dietrich's back at third base now.
Yes.
On FanDuel.
Yes,
interesting.
That happened about 3 days ago.
All right, you can tell how long I haven't played him in then. Kyle Seager is probably going to be the chalk going up against Covey.
He's going to be chalky too.
Makes sense. Todd Frazier has had a couple, big bops here over the last couple games. He's interesting, but yeah, I think this is the one spot that I think you can afford to, that you can afford to be chalky here and go with Turner or Seager, and you'd be perfectly fine with it because that's really all we got.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, very simple. Shortstop.
Now this is an interesting position.
All right.
Because I want some Corey Seager, but I want some Gene Segura. Mm-hmm. But Didi's been hitting the ball well. Xander's been hitting the ball well. It's a very, very, very interesting position today.
All right, now let's X1 out, right, with Didi. I understand, 320 against lefties last season. Duffy's amazing against left-handers. So I think that's a pretty easy cross out there. Like, I get it with Didi, but again, being in Kauffman Stadium, just how Duffy is against lefties, I don't think that's the way to go. But remember, I brought it up at the beginning of the show when we were talking about the Mariners stack. I mean, Covey, he's allowing a .422 average to right-handers. So, again, if the Mariners are going to be rocking and rolling all night, Segura are probably going to be the one, not only in the middle of it, but starting the whole damn thing off. So I think that's the way you got to go tonight. I understand Corey Seager, is a good option there as well, and Bogart's hitting the ball well. But I think Segura gives you a little bit of everything, and that's probably going to be the way I go.
I agree.
Yeah, all right.
Plus the White Sox. Well, the only thing I'm worried about is the White Sox bullpen's not bad. So that's the only thing I'm a little worried about. Because if Covey doesn't last long, but the White Sox are putting up runs along with, the Mariners, then even if this turns into a bullpen game, you have to give your edge towards the White Sox stack because the Mariners' bullpen isn't as good as the White Sox is. So.
Gotcha. All right, let's cap it off here with some outfielders. Now, this is going to be tough, right? Because I wish I could just play 9 outfielders tonight instead of, Gene Segura and 9 outfielders. But I would even put an outfielder at pitcher tonight. That's how I feel about the whole slate.
I would do that every night.
Now, if we got, with Covey allowing the .422 average to left-handers, or I'm sorry, to right-handers, keep him. Again, Nelson Cruz, he could be popular tonight, but
not going up against a righty.
I was gonna say it could be, but only reason I say this because it's a five game slate. But really not too many options. If you pay up for pitching, you might not have enough money to do so. But I think Cruz is by far and away the number one option tonight.
I will second that. Not by far and away though. I will say he's the number one option, but not by far and away. Because my number one option, and I play. I say that we say this every year, and I play him every year that he's in this stadium. Giancarlo Stanton in Chavez Ravine, lock and load, ladies and gentlemen. You want to know what this kid does or this guy does in Chavez Ravine? It doesn't matter if he's batting 115 with like one home run and one RBI. He'll have a season in this series. He will be. His numbers are almost better at Chavez Ravine than they are at Coors Field.
Yeah.
And there's another KD seal of approval.
I am pulling them up right now because it's freaky what the man has done. And I believe it was last year or the year before where he actually hit the ball out of Chavez Ravine.
Last year. And I believe it was against Clayton Kershaw.
Okay. All right. So this is from the previous three seasons. He is 20 for 52 with six homers, four doubles, 17 RBIs, eight walks, the 17 strikeouts. That's fine. Whatever. We'll talk about it. But,
yeah, he strikes out a lot.
But this is 385 batting average. He's slugging 808, and the OPS is at 1.275. So all those numbers are in line. And again, you know, we've seen Stanton struggle most of the time against right-handers that, you know, kind of can keep the ball, you know, out of the zone and just make him look stupid. Well, up against lefties, I mean,
I don't care if he's going against an ambidextrous guy tonight. I'm playing Giancarlo Stanton.
But against especially a very soft-tossing lefty, this is I know what I said
that's
about
been
Cruz,
struggling.
But this is an amazing matchup here for him.
Yep. And, so those are two of your three outfielders. We're basically just spoon-feeding you guys double dog potential tonight.
Indeed. Now, I'm going to be interested to see because I'm pretty sure Ryu's going to be the chalk pitcher of the night, especially FanDuel over there. He's priced at 7,100. Not sure about him on DK, but I'm going to be interested to see how people handle that. If they're going to throw Stanton in their lineup anyway, since it's a five-game slate, you think they do that or no?
No, because it's where he's playing. Like, he's going to have a little bit higher ownership than he normally would, like, say, tomorrow. But on a five game slate, he's going to have that. He's going to carry that ownership. But when you're talking about being in Chavez Ravine, that's one of those things like they just don't, people don't like to play hitters unless they're the Dodgers in that park. So.
No, I got you. Now I was wondering, I was like, what is Stanton from there or something? He's from Panorama, California.
He's from down the road.
Okay, so is that by? Let's see, Panorama, California. I'm trying to bring
this
up.
It's a homecoming. They classify that as a homecoming.
I think it's a neighborhood in Los Angeles. Yeah.
See, so
that's why he likes it so much there. Okay.
Yeah, I think
he's a home bro.
I think he grew up going there. I think like high school was there, or like high school state championships were there and stuff like that. Just like everything about it, like, screams don't do it, because it's like, I talk about it all the time. You know, it's Stanton. I don't like his swing. He looks absolutely completely horrible, but he hits the ball a country mile. The problem is like, you can't ignore the numbers over a 3-year sample size. When he goes there, he absolutely just freaking crushes. I don't know if it's mama's home cooking, if it's meeting up with the ex-girlfriends or what, but when he goes,
Shirley.
Exactly. When he goes and sees, you know, Dodger blue with the yellow stand or with the yellow bleachers and the big speaker, he goes bananas.
Yep. All right. I like it. Nick Markakis is an interesting fella. 12 for 24 in his last six games, eight RBIs. The only thing that sucks is all 12 of those hits are singles. He's not putting any extra base hits into it. But what's been good about his point totals, like as I just mentioned, you got those eight RBIs from him. And the guys in the Atlanta order have been doing a pretty good job of getting on base. So even though I add Markakis here, Matt Kemp's even not a bad idea for this one. We're talking about Stroman being worse against right-handed pitching this season. But as long as – and, you know, they might even jump Markakis up to the three hole if Freeman's not in there tonight. So it'll be interesting to see what that lineup looks like. But again, the guy's getting on base, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, that's it depends on Matt Kemp, what they do with that lineup. That's what I'm kind of worried about. I like Mookie Betts, and Jackie Bradley Jr. We're starting to see some these Boston Red Sox bats come around a little bit. And yeah, I know it's Sonny Gray, who's not really good, and I know it's Odot Ko, but I mean, I like the Red Sox tonight against Sonny Gray.
No, I dig it. And, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. sleeping on the floor over here. He would have barked if he heard his name, but, you know, he's snoring his life away right now, so that's okay.
There you go.
I had the two Garcias there from Chicago, Lurie and Abascal. Both guys have at least 10 hits over their last seven games. Lurie with the 10, Abascal with the 11. But both guys had a great week there in Los Angeles. Going to be looking to keep things rolling here on the West Coast. So I think both those guys are interesting. But you're only going to have room for one. You know, I think we're pretty heavy on the Cruz-Stanton combination there in the outfield. So,
oh yeah,
going to have to make a choice there.
They will be in a majority of my lineups. One, if not both. Like one of them, at least one of them will be in every single one of my lineups, and a majority of them will have both. Like I just, yeah. I the spot that they're in, I just love it. It's almost as good of a spot, and how much I loved Carlos Gonzalez and Billy Hamilton in the early slate.
Yeesh. Okay. Looking for maybe one last outfielder to talk about here. Of course, you got the Yankees there. Aaron Judge,
Kevin Hicks. Pillar.
Kevin Pillar, looking good.
And Jose Bautista, actually. He had a home run last night.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and, yeah, I kind of like those Blue Jays bats, like I said. If you can get creative and get some of those guys in there. You want to talk about double dong potential? Just automatically lock in Bautista, Cruz, and Stanton into your lineups.
Oh dear lord!
Oh my god! Like if you could get double dongs from all three of those, do you realize how much money you would win? I mean, you still have to nail everything else, but I mean, still.
Right. I mean, if we can go Velasquez brother from Boston, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, no kidding.
But. Anywho, all right, that does it for all the positions, all the material we got today. Any words for the people before we embark on this five-game journey?
No. I think we're good.
All right. Once again, dfsarmy.com, promo code podcast gets you a little bit of a discount if you're not signed up with us yet. And, of course, follow us on Twitter, of course, at the DFS Army, and then me at 14A.Walsh, Keith, Boomers, DFS Daddy. Well, we're all on there having a grand old time. And that'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow for Friday to take us into the weekend, and we'll see you then. We go.
Peace out.